Let's turn in God's Word to Acts in chapter 20 and also Ephesians chapter 4. Acts chapter 20 and Acts chapter 20, we're actually going to be looking at verses 25 through 31. A verse we'll look at in the moment will be verse 31. And then in Ephesians, we'll be in Ephesians chapter 4. We'll begin reading in verse 11. We'll read through through verse 16. And the verse we're looking at will be verse 15. God's people, let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Again, we remember we are completely undeserving of hearing you speak to us. But how gracious you are that you do speak to us. And so, Father, we ask, as you teach us in your word, that we would have ears to hear. You'd give us hearts to receive your word, to believe what we hear, yet with that discernment, go back and make sure that what we hear is according to your word. As well, we pray that we would respond with not only faith, but hope and love and obedience, and teach it unto each other, even our children. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Acts chapter 20, and beginning in verse 25, we'll read through verse 31. Verse 25, these are the words of God. And indeed now I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, will see my face no more. Therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore watch, and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. Those are God's words. And then if you would turn to Ephesians chapter 4. And we'll begin reading in verse 11. And these also are God's words. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things unto him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Those are God's words. Primary task of the Church of Jesus Christ, which Christ is the head and not man, is preaching. Preaching unto the conversion of sinners to Christ, that is preaching the gospel. Preaching unto the holiness of God's children, all of that unto the glory of God in Christ Jesus. If we got to choose the most effective way to bring all of that about, would you have chosen preaching? No, you would not. We would not. We would choose probably what some of the modern church has chosen to do through entertainment, mere teaching, great oratories, and eloquence, and professionalism, and niceties, and various other means to bring about the glory of God in Christ Jesus. But thankfully, God, who is infinitely wiser and stronger than all of creation, has deemed that the best means and the primary means to be the preaching of His Word. This evening we begin looking at the manner of preaching. The manner of preaching. How ought the preacher preach? And under this point we'll look at many things, three this evening, in the Scriptures, that the Scriptures describe of the godly biblical preacher. How the preacher ought to preach. And this point will get us as close to the style of preaching as we can get to. Because every style is different. Every human instrument of God is different. And so we ought not to expect that every single preacher is the same. We ought not to expect that every preacher is similar, even. Or even the things that we'll hear this evening and after this in the manner of preaching, that they will look exactly the same. Because they won't. Because we remember Romans 12, each one is called with differing graces, differing measures of faith, differing personalities and different backgrounds. And the first comes from our first passage this evening in Acts 20, where Paul is going around preaching, and in particular here he's preaching in Ephesus, and seems like at least part of the church is there as he's preaching, because he warns them. The biblical preacher, first, must preach with earnestness. With earnestness. And I've met quite a few pastors who have very little care if they preach or not. In the Reformed churches today, we have, and even many other churches too, but particularly point out the Reformed churches because they ought to know better. But we have assistant pastors. We have executive pastors. And we can go on with youth pastors. We can go on and on with what kind of pastor they are, the label that is attached to pastor. And there is no such thing, beloved, in the Scriptures. In the Scripture, there are pastors, and those who are pastors preach. There are pastors in the Scripture, and there are not pastors. And that's okay. It's perfectly good to not be a pastor. There are pastors, though, and those who are pastors preach. And I have a great longing to preach the Word in season and out of season, just as the Lord through Paul commanded Timothy. Because the greatest work of the pastor is preaching. The greatest task of the church is preaching, and the pastor, primarily, preaches. If the greatest work of the pastor is preaching, and all those pastors who are called, their greatest longing then should be, as God has worked in them, their greatest longing, if they're truly called, their greatest desire in the duty of pastoring will be to preach the Word of God. And in that work, when preaching for a time is taken away, when he can't do it, maybe sick. When he cannot do it, when he's unable to do it, there's a feeling in the pastor, there should be a pastor, a feeling in the pastor of great struggle. Almost of agony. That they cannot fulfill, at that time, the calling of God. And why is that? Because the Lord called them to do it. And He's equipped them to do it. He's given the graces to do it. And He must do it. Because it's the calling of God. Again, you think of Jonah. Jonah's not a good example of a preacher, but he was a preacher, the prophet. He didn't want to preach. There's a people he did not want to preach to. And yet God called him to do it. And eventually he did do it. Because God makes all pastors preach. If they're called. And from this calling, the solemnness of the calling being from our God who reigns above and sends fire down and consumes those who offer strange fire, it's a pretty scary thing, a fearful thing to preach the Word of God. Taking in that truth and being moved by it from the heart, the pastor's heart is wholly enlisted in the work of preaching. What is earnestness in preaching? It's the enlisting of the whole heart, where the heart is fully inflamed by a sense of the importance of the subject at hand, God's Word, His Gospel. That is, that every fiber of the preacher's being is invested in that particular truth he's trying to communicate from God's Word, and God's Word alone. A heart filled with the strongest desire of affecting hearers with the truth of the Gospel. And such an earnestness cannot be assumed. It cannot be faked. It might appear genuine to you sometimes, but the preacher knows if it's faked or not. It must be genuine from the heart. And so Paul says, 2 Corinthians 5, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us." Pleading. And that earnestness behind that pleading from the heart. "We implore you on Christ's behalf," he says, "be reconciled to God." We implored you. The preacher implores from the heart to turn to Christ from your sins. In our passage, Paul's preaching, verse 31, Acts 20, verse 31, "Therefore watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears." Why are there tears? Are they just fake? No. It comes from the heart. Tears. He poured forth, and many of the apostles did the same. In Acts 18, verse 25, speaking of Apollos, it said, "This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord." He was fervent in spirit when he preached. In the heart of every pastor and preacher must be an understanding and realization that cuts to his own core the things that are true, that he speaks of, which are spiritual and eternal. And that if his hearers don't hear, is this realization that comes to his heart, if the hearers don't hear, if they are not penetrated by the truth, they will die forever. Or as we heard before, and we hear in the Gospels, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. And the preacher is affected by that truth in the heart. And yet in the churches today, you'll find many men, especially in the Western world, who are very numb, oblivious, perhaps calloused and cold. It is as if they're in a stupor going through the motions. And some will say it's the Holy Spirit's work to soften hearts and break the hardened in heart, which is true. And yet at the same time, the Spirit uses the weakness of the preacher, and ordinarily works through the preacher by those means. And part of those means is filling the preacher with a great deal of earnestness, setting the heart aflame by the truth. And only when the truth by the Holy Spirit comes to the preacher first and awakens him from his slumbering, calloused heart will then come forth great earnestness and fire. Acts 11, verse 23, "Who, when he, Barnabas, came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them," that's a word for preaching, "exhorted them all, that was with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord." With purpose of heart. One theologian says, "How is it possible to preach of the awful realities of heaven and hell, of the soul and of the everlasting ages, and of the death of Christ for the salvation of the lost without the deepest emotion? Hell is a terrible reality. The prospect of its unutterable anguish, of its eternal torments, is dreadful. Then the thought that all the unconverted are posting unsteadily and surely to its woes is appalling. But it might be escaped through the blood of the Son of God. And then would come a heaven of indescribable bliss and everlasting glory. Can we think of these things and not be overwhelmed at the thought? Can we speak of them like the preacher does? Can we speak of them without our hearts and words burning with the very deepest feeling? And sadly, though, what most of us see in the church, and at times myself, even in myself, what you see are pastors preaching in a cold, unfeeling manner. To preach like that, to preach without earnestness, is sinful. It shows the hard heart of the preacher. But you should be warned, just because the preacher preaches that way does not excuse you. Does not excuse you from hearing God's word and obeying and believing and obeying His word. And the same with the rest of the other things we'll hear. If the pastor doesn't have those things, that doesn't excuse you from hearing the word and believing and submitting to Christ. Now, preachers are those who preach with all their might. Something you may have heard before, the preachers ought to preach as if it were the last time they ever spoke a word. As if their dying words to their loved ones were the words they were speaking in that moment. Every sermon ought to be treated as if it were their last, and if for the hearers it were their last one they would ever hear. That I would think, the preacher would think, this might be the last sermon you ever hear. And so from that, and all the things we also have heard, it wells up within the heart, this enthusiasm. A preacher without enthusiasm, without earnestness from the heart, is a recipe for deadness in the hearers. If there is no fire in the pulpit, then most assuredly you will find what you'll find in the pew is coldness. The preacher must preach with earnestness. Secondly, the preacher must preach with love. The preacher must preach with love, the one mark that ought to stand out from the Christian's life, as we heard from Romans 12, love. And so with the preacher, after the two greatest commandments, the grand distinctive mark of the pastor's office must be love. If God is love, then the preacher must preach in love and with love from his heart. Because the office of elder or the office of pastor, we've heard that in the sermons on church discipline, when we looked especially at the first 14 verses in chapter 18 of Matthew. It is marked by love. And therefore, love must be infused into every aspect of the life and character of the preacher. Passage in Ephesians 4 is a pretty good description of the office of a preacher. They're not the trickery of men, not in cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting like many ministries in our nation today. But verse 15, but speaking the truth in love. It's telling us two things there. Not only speaking in love, but speaking the truth in love. There are some in the church who hold back truth out of a false notion of love. Again, very much like what we already heard when we talked about that united love in Romans 12. People hold back from preaching parts of the Word of God because to the hearer, it can be offensive. And so they don't preach all of God's Word, the whole counsel, as Paul said he did. They only preach part of it because to the hearer it's offensive, part of it's offensive, and they do that out of what they call charity or love. That's false love, false charity. They don't want to stir up contention. They don't want people to be offended, to react negatively. And so they say to speak those offensive words of Christ is not gracious, it's not nice, which is contrary to the very words I just spoke. If the words are of Christ, then they are fully gracious. Some will come and still speak the truth. Speak those offensive words of Christ, those harsher sounding things, but they do it hesitantly with the fear of man. And in that, they may even round the corners a bit. I know Dave sometimes prays that way. At least for me, when we're back there, he says, he prays that I wouldn't round the corners. But sometimes preachers do. They round the corners that are sharp, so it's not as offensive, not as hurtful sounding. Other preachers will speak God's word only because they know they have to be faithful. As if the responsibility is simply to deliver their own souls over to speaking truth and therefore be faithful. And so as long as they're faithful to preach truth, they're fine. Instead of what all preachers should be doing, to preach all of the Word of God, whether offensive sounding or not, so as to win souls to Jesus Christ, to the holiness of sinners, that they would be sanctified, the children of God would be sanctified and all unto the glory of God. True love for each hearer to hear the truth and the truth applied to them in particular should be what fills the preacher's heart. And all that they would turn, the hearer would turn unto Christ and be saved and be sanctified unto the glory of God. A preacher out of love for each hearer that they'd hear, that they would turn from their sins to Jesus Christ, that they would grow in faith and holiness and glorify God. That for their good and not for their hurt, that for their life eternally, that they would not die forever. The preacher preaches the truth because he doesn't want the hearer to die. He doesn't want the hearer to remain in their sin. Wants God to be glorified through the hearer and the hearer's life and faith. That must be the heart of the preacher. You think of 1 Corinthians 13. We think of love, we often think of 1 Corinthians 13. And there are many pastors like the first two verses. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have a gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. Without love, just sounding brass, clanging cymbal. A preacher is nothing without love. And those who turn from the faith, those who hear the truth preached and turn away, those who hear preaching and get disgusted and emotionally respond in anger because they were confronted with the truth, with Christ and their sin, they look into the eyes of the preacher and they yell at them in anger, when they are really screaming at Christ's words and at Christ Himself. And those who hear preaching and hate what is said and prove themselves to hate Christ and be enemies of the cross, in all of those circumstances, the preacher is to manifest the love of God in Christ, even for them. And what does that look like? It looks like Philippians 3, verse 18. For many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, that their enemies, the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. Paul communicates that over such people who reject and rebel against Christ, the preacher weeps for them. Because there's a love for them, as we heard even for our enemies in Romans 12. There's a sorrow that comes out of love, and that their eternal soul is either dead or in grave danger, and that strikes the heart of the preacher. There's one theologian who said, I would have every minister of the gospel address his audience with the zeal of a friend, with the generous energy of a father, and with the exuberant affection of a mother. Think about what it says. We've heard it already this evening. 2 Timothy 4:2. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. Notice the language. Rebuke with all longsuffering. How could a preacher rebuke? He could do so without any care of your position in sanctification. He could do so, but that would be sin. The preacher must be long-suffering, even in rebuking the hearer, even rebuking you with the word. Patient. And that is what we know love is, patient or long-suffering. Now, a preacher is very much in his office to be bringing encouragement to the hearer, to those who turn to Christ, to those who are in Christ, as infinite encouragements and blessings promised forever. But the preaching office also is one of pronouncing judgment on behalf of the King, Jesus Christ. And such judgments are to be pronounced how? By the preacher, as if he's pronouncing them to his own son with solemnity and affection, with love. To preach such things apart from love for the hearer is plain unfaithfulness to God. And remember the first passage we heard, Acts 20, verse 31. Therefore, watch, remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn you, every one, night and day, with tears, with tears. Where do the tears come from? They come from his love for them, the church in Ephesus. And so God's people, the preacher, must preach with earnestness and with love. And then lastly, thirdly, with tenderness. With tenderness. And tenderness goes along with love. And think about how the preacher must, from the innermost part of his soul, feel for the hearer. Feel for the hearer in their fear of death. Feel for them in their hopes and their comforts, but also in their struggles and their miseries and their dangers they put themselves in because of their sin. Feeling for them in their sin and their struggles with sin. Souls are at stake, and the weight of that is placed upon the pastor. Every time you sin, that weight, that burden is taken up by the preacher. You might not know that, but that's true. If they preach with tenderness and love. Every time you find yourself falling back into habitual sin, that comes upon the preacher as a weight, a burden. And yet the preacher can't burst out, can't attack you, but must come to you with the truth and tenderness. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 7 says, "But we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children. So affectionately longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become dear to us. For you remember, brethren, our labor and toil, for laboring night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you, we preach to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and God also, how devoutly and justly and blamelessly we behaved ourselves among you who believe, as you know how we exhorted, comforted, and charged every one of you, as a father does his own children, that you would walk worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory." And we need to ask the question, why didn't the Lord send angels to preach the word? Why did he send men to preach? Because men can feel. Men can sympathize for those his hearers. And sinners, he can sympathize with sinners like himself, like no other creature can. Because men can also speak from their hearts, from experience, when they press home the promised blessings and gracious offers of Christ to those who believe. As well, when rebuking or pronouncing judgment, he does so from not a high place, as if he's holy, more holy than they are, but rebuking himself while rebuking you. It is this reason that God did not come, but God, taking on a human nature in Christ, came. The God-man who came preaching, Hebrews 4:15, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." And it's in and through Christ alone that you are to come to the Father. That you are to come and believe in faith that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, and then rose from the dead to give you life. or you will perish forever. Come to Christ. He calls you. He says, Matthew, come to me, all who are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And so the preacher, in affectionate tenderness, is to come and call all his hearers to Christ and to the truth. The pastor before the congregation has a constant duty, beloved, to pour out the healing balm of tenderness into the bleeding heart of the hearer and assure them that there is one who sympathizes with all their sorrows and trials and struggles, and who's able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by Him, by and through Jesus Christ. And so, because of that, and someone must preach that truth according to God's plan, He sends the preacher who can somewhat sympathize with that, with Christ and with you. And so the manner of preaching, the Scriptures teach us, begins with the heart affected by the Lord, by the gospel, and by truth. And so he preaches with earnestness, the heart on fire. But much earnestness without love is deadly. Right? Much earnestness without love is deadly. And so preachers must be filled with the love of Christ and for Christ and for all their hearers. And finally, what we've heard this evening is the preacher must also be filled with tenderness. Humble gentleness. As one who knows the struggles of the people firsthand. Just as Christ was tempted in every way, we are, and yet without sin. The preacher is one who's tempted in every way and does sin, just like the hearer. And he is to point you to Christ, as one who has himself turned to Christ and can walk you through. And so we are to look to Christ, beloved, to His truth, to His Word, to the cross. And so we ought to look to Him now as we pray unto Him, knowing that He perfects our prayers. Let's pray. Our Father, we're thankful for the great plan that You have, which boggles our mind, why You would make men to preach, and that's how we come. And hearing the gospel to believe as the Spirit works in the heart. You work even through the foolishness of preaching and the weakness of preaching to show Your power and Your wisdom. And Father, we pray, ask for myself, ask for all pastors and any who will be called from amongst us in the future. We fill them with earnestness, that fire that comes from Your Holy Spirit, and with love and tenderness for their hearers. Father, we ask that You'd help all of us to hear well. The great danger of learning about preaching is that when we don't hear preaching exactly according to what Your Word commands, we try to use the excuse to not listen. Pray that that would not be the case, but every time we hear the Word, that we would know how blessed we are to even hear You speak. Even if it sounds boring in our human ears, it can never be boring if it comes forth from You. And so work salvation in us, sanctify us, and humble us before Your throne. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.